the Shari Tshuva next to the Be'er Heitev and the big Shulchan Aruch quotes from the Maharil in Hilchas Sfiras HaOmer that on the last night you count 49 days in Sfiras HaOmer, that makes 7 weeks, and then the next day is Shavuos. Well, the Machrasai Shavuos. So the Shari Tshuva has two ways to read. He's not sure how to read the Maharil, whether the Maharil means to say if they finish counting Sfira, the next day will be Shavuos, just describing, or does he mean to say that that's part of the Sfira Soimer? The whole purpose, the Gemara in Chagiga says, the purpose of Sfira Soimer is to be kaveh the Yontav of Shavuos. That's how the Gemara establishes in Maseches Chagiga that there's Tashlumen, whoever didn't bring the Oil of Sriya or the Shami Chagiga on Shavuos has the next 6 days of Tashlumen to bring the Karbonis. So the Gemara establishes this from the fact that you have the two Parshios of Sfira, one of them Mor and one of Re'e, and one of them in Parshas Re'e says Shiva Shavuos Tispalochi, she count weeks. And in Amor it says Svartim Chamishim Yom, she count the days. So Abayi says in the Gemara, it's not a contradiction, they're both correct. Mitzvah the Mimni Yomei, or Mitzvah the Mimni Shavuot. It's a mitzvah to count the days and a mitzvah to count the weeks. And the purpose of counting the Sfira is to be Kaveh of Shavuos. So Shavuos is established both as a Yontav of the day and also as a Yontav of a week. So it's a Yontav of a day for Issa Malacha. Issa Malacha is only one day. And for the Musafim of a Yom, a Batul Karbon, if you don't bring the Musafim on Yontav Shavuos, you can't, there's no Tashlomer. But we also count weeks to establish the Yontav of Shavuos as a whole week. With respect to what is Shavuos, a whole week. So that's the Gemara said, with respect to Tashlumen, Ba'ol HaSmiyah and Shalmei Chagiga, whoever didn't bring the Korbanos, the Oil of Regalim, who didn't bring the Korbanos on Shavuos, have the next 6 days to be Mashlem. In Shulchan Aruch, they quote the Rit Echok Yankiv on Hilchas Pesach, and Shulchan Aruch quotes the Rabbeinu Yeruchim. Rabbeinu Yeruchim was a Talmud of the Rosh, who had a Girsa, the Gemara. We, in our Gemara, we have a different Girsa. We have this Gemara, but a different Girsa. He had a Girsa in the Gemara. Amema mani yoyme velo mani shavu. Amema counted the days, and he didn't count the weeks. Because Bizman Azeh, there is no Tashlumen. There's no Beis HaMikdash, and there's no Tashlumen. So what's the value of counting the weeks? So even though we pass, can you count the weeks and the days? Rabbeinu Yeruchim says, yeah, counting the days is the Raisa today, because we want to be Kaveh Shavuos as a Yantam of one day. But counting the weeks is only Zecha L'Mikdash, because we will not accomplish to make it a Yontav of 7 days for the purpose of Tashlumen, because it's irrelevant. There's no Beis HaMikdash today. So the Shari Tshuva is not sure whether the Maharil meant to say, when you count Sfira, the last day of Sfira's army, you should add the last two words should be, well, the Machrasu Shavuos, because the whole purpose of the Sfira's army is to be Kadeh Shavuos. So we should say the punchline and then through the fact that we counted all the 7 weeks, tomorrow will be Shavuos. Or no, Machrosa Shavuos, the Marila is saying, the next day will be Shavuos, introducing what the Dinim and the Menhagim are on Shavuos. On Erev Yontif, there is, in the days of the Beis HaMikdash, there certainly was a Din Chai, Bodim L'Taratz Mo Beregel. Everybody had to go to Mikveh in advance of the Sholosh Regalim to be able to be Ola Regal. You can't enter the Azara if you tell me. The question is that the sole purpose of Chai Varam Tarat Mabaregal? To be able to be Ola Regal, that's what the Shagasariya writes. Shagasariya says that it certainly doesn't imply Bizman Azen. Nobody's entering the Beis HaMikdash, everybody's Tomei. We have a Tumas Meis. What is going to help that we get rid of the Tumas Balkari? But we have a Tumas Meis. So the whole din of Chai Varam Tarat Mabaregal doesn't apply Bizman Azen. But the Rosh in the end of Yuma quotes him in the Rav Sadi Gaon. Rav Sadi Gaon is of the opinion that on Erev Yom Kippur, one goes to the mikveh and says a brocha. What is that all about? So the Rosh understood that the Rav Sadi Gaon meant Chai Vodam HaTaratz Ma Beregel. And not only does it apply on Sholosh Regalim, when there's a Chiyav Aliyah LaRegel, it even applies on Yom Kippur. Maybe Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur both. He doesn't talk about Rosh Hashanah. If it applies to Yom Kippur, it probably applies to Rosh Hashanah as well. What is that all about? So that's where Rabbi Yosef Engel quotes from Mekubalim, that a person who experiences Shabbos or experiences Yantav, it's an experience that has an effect on his neshama. So if the person will be Tahor, the experience of Shabbos and Yom Tov will be greater. So some say only on Yom Tov you need that. Shabbos is so powerful, the Kedusha of Shabbos is much greater than the Kedusha of Yom Tov. There's no Heterech on Nefesh, and there's a Chi of Kores, and on Yom Kippur there's also Kores, one of those Malacha, but on Shabbos there's a Chi of Skilo. And the Gemara understands if you have different, the more Chomer the Onesh is, the more Chomer the Din is. The Gemara understands the Onshim are given in accordance with Malach Chomer the Aver is. So the fact that Malacha is so Chomer on Shabbos indicates that Shabbos has a much greater Kedusha Sayyam than Yom Kippur, and certainly much greater than Yom Tov. So some of Kupalim say, Kedusha of Shabbos is so powerful, it'll have an effect, my experiencing Shabbos will have an effect on my neshama, even if I don't go to the mikvah, only beregel, only on Yom Tov you may have to go. And they understood that it even applies bizman hazeh. That's how the Rosh understood the Rabbeinu Sadigoy. That a person has to go to mikvah on Erev Yom Kippur, even bizman hazeh, even though there's no aliyah l'regel, you're not entering the Azara. Apparently the purpose of Chayvad Mutar Atzma Beregel is that the Kedushas Hayoyim, the neshama of the person should be able to receive more of an influence from the Kedushas Hayoyim. So it would even apply bizman hazeh. If you look at the very last page in the Mishnah Berurah, Chelekei, that's where the Shulchan Aruch talks, that's where the Mefarshim talk about this, when the Chayvad Mutar Atzma Beregel applies bizman hazeh. And the Shari Tshuva there on the last page in Chelekei quotes the Shagas Aryeh, that he thinks that it absolutely does not apply. The whole purpose of Chayvad and Tarat Mabarego is only to be able to be Ola Rego. There's no Beis Hamikdash today, nobody's Ola Rego. On Erev Yom Tov, we light Neiris, just like on Erev Shabbos. And Rav Soloveitchik was of the opinion, Rabitzele Petterburger has a tshuva about this in his Sefer, in his Shavas HaTshuvas. Rabitzele Petterburger was the outstanding Talmud of Rabbi Sol Salanta, who's a Goinim. So he writes, many Gedolim hold like this, that it's not proper, the practice that many women have, they wait till the husband comes home from Shul on Lehen Yom Tov, and then they bench lich. So they say that's not right. The Beis HaLevi has a tshuva about this, that Hadlokas Saneris on Shabbos and on Yom Tov is a key in both of Kibud and Oinig. What is Kibud Karasavu Shabbos Oinig L'Kadosh Hashem Mechuba? What is Kibud, what is Oinig? So the Vilna Goyen also, on the last Simen in Hilchos Yom Tov, that's the last page in Chelekei, the Mishnah Berurah, so the Viragro there gives you the definition. Should have given it in Hilchos Shabbos, but he doesn't. He gives it in Hilchos Yom Tov. So he says, Kibud refers to all the achanas that one does in advance of Shabbos, and Oineg refers to the fact that a person enjoys Shabbos. So taking the shower on Erev Shabbos is Kibud, and feeling good on Shabbos that the person is clean, that's Oineg. Putting up the tshol and vacuuming the rug on Erev Shabbos and setting up the table is Kibud, and coming into the clean house, and everything is neat and clean, and the cholent, I eat the delicious cholent, that's the oinig. So lighting the neiris is kibbut, and enjoying the fact that the house is lit up, that's the oinig. So more correct is that not only on Erev Shabbos should you be madlek neiris mitbod yom, because it's a malocha, there's no heterech on nefesh, even on Erev Yom Tov also. Even though if it would be dark in the house, you would be permitted to light a candle. We're not talking about moiler esh mechadish, but taking an esh from an esh that already exists. So strictly speaking, if you light an Eris on Yom Tov, it's permissible, but you're not in fulfillment of the mitzvah of kibbut. Kibbut requires that once you do the hachanas in advance. So it's really many gedolim hold that it's not proper. Rav Soloveitchik held like that also. It's not proper that the women wait till the husband comes home from shul, and then they bench licht when he's home already. More correct is they should light an Eris on Erev Yom Tov. What about the second day Yom Tov? This year, Shavuos is going to be Monday and Tuesday. So what about the Hadlaka on the second day? So usually we say you're not allowed to do a Malacha on the first day Yom Tov, but the second day Yom Tov, first day Yom Tov is Yom Tov Deraisa. Second day Yom Tov, Yom Tov Shenu Shal Golias is only a make-believe din with the Rabbana. It's not really Yom Tov Benatera. So what do you, so the Chorid is now headed to light candles on the first day for the second day. So the Tosus in Beitza writes, the Baal HaTosus didn't have electric lights, so by them it was dark in the house at night. So the Baal HaTos is right when it's already, let's say, half an hour before the Shkiyah. So the sun is getting ready to set, and the house is beginning a little bit to get darkish. So Tosis says, if a person will light Neiris late in the afternoon on the first day, let's say half an hour, 45 minutes before the Shkia on the first day, it's not considered doing a malacha today for tomorrow. He's doing a malacha today for today. He wants it to be a little more light in the house today. Shaila is when Tosis said that, and this is quoted in Shulchan Aruch, that if it's dark in the house by us, probably not, maybe you're not allowed to. Because by us, if you have the big lights on, so it's not dark in the house at all. By us is a big shaila bichlal. Are you permitted to light Neiris on the second night, even if it is already the second night? Because the candles don't give any illumination. That says in Shulchan Aruch, the Mechaber writes that if two families are reading in the same room on Leil Shabbos, so whoever lights Neiris first, the Balabasta who lights first says a bracha, the one who lights second shouldn't say a bracha, because they're not illuminating the room. And the Ramah disagrees, and the Magen Avraham quotes from the Shalot, the reason why the Ramah says the second Balabasta can say a bracha also when she lights the Neiris, because the first Balabasta lit a leichter, a candlestick, at one end of the table. The rest of the room is not so lit up. The second Balabasta would light in a different candlestick at the other end of the table. And the Magen Avraham quotes the expression from the Shalot, that there will be Tosefes Oira V'Simcha. There will be added illumination at the other end of the table. By us, if you have the big fixture on top, on the ceiling, the big candelabra, the big lights are on, so the candles add a Yontav Dikah, has a Shabbos Dikah flavor to the table, but it doesn't really give illumination. So it's really a very questionable whether you're allowed to say a bracha if you're going to light on the second night. And if you don't, and you don't really need it, so it could be that it's a Ner Shal Avtala. There was a Machloikah Satanayim, whether Havor Lalab Yatzas on Shabbos, are the 39 Melachas that are all the same, or is Havorah different? So we Paskan Havorah is not different. But there was one opinion in the days of the Tanayim that the reason why the Chumash singles that Lo Savar Eish Bukhan Lo Shvasechem, because there are 38 malachas, and Havar is a little different. Havar is only a lav. There's no chorus and there's no misa. So if Havar lalav yatzas, then there's room to say that on Yantav, only the 38 malachas are rosa. Havar is mutter on Yantav. And Havar is mutter even in Ner Shal Avtala. Even to light a candle, you accomplish nothing by lighting the candle. But we don't paskin like that. We paskin Havar lechalak yatzas, that Havar has chorus and misa is best, and the same as the other 38 malachas. Yantav Havara is a malacha, and it's only mutter to violate Havara if it's Latzorcha Chanefesh or Latzorcha Yom Ktsas. It's not that you only have 38 malachas and Havara is mutter. So that's a big question. If you have the big chandelier is on and the whole room is flooded with light, so it's very questionable, not only questionable whether you're allowed to say a bracha when you light the candles, questionable whether you're allowed to light any candles if it's 2 days Yantav. What are you lighting candles? You're not adding any illumination to the house. One of the Rabbanim wrote the tshuva. No, this is what they always did. It's not what they always did. It was during my lifetime it changed. I remember when I was a little boy and I stayed by my grandparents. My grandparents were poor people. They couldn't afford to leave the electric lights on the whole Shabbos. So the only light was from the candles. When the candles went out, it was dark in the kitchen. They didn't have lights all over. They did. It changed during, and I'm not 1,000 years old, I'm not 100 years old either. It changed during my lifetime. Years ago, they didn't madlik, they didn't say bracha on adlakas haneris if the room was all flooded with light. So that's a question. But at least in the days of the Baal HaTosis, when it would start to get dark, let's say an hour before the Shkiyah, half an hour before the Shkiyah, on the first day Yantav, so HaTosis says that it's okay to light neiris late in the afternoon on the first day. That's not considered doing a malach on the first day for the second day. You're doing malach on the first day because it's beginning, it's a little bit dark in the room. Another half hour, the sun is going to set. Another hour, the sun's going to set. So it's already beginning to be a little bit dark. So that's a shaila. There's one place that never says whether you say a bracha when your madlik the neir is late in the afternoon on the first day. So Moshe Feinstein is of the opinion that even on Shulchan Aruch they quote the Tosfos that you can be madlik neiros late in the afternoon on the first day, but you can say a bracha. You're saying a bracha, it's a stira. Today's Yontif Deraisa. What is saying a bracha? L'hadlik neiros al Yontif. But tomorrow, today's Yontif, not tomorrow. I mean, Atar is only one day Yontif. The Kaf HaChaim, however, quotes the Shalom. Who quotes that Tosfos in Beitza, in the second parak in Beitza. And the Shalom understood in Tosfos that you do say a bracha. Nothing wrong with saying a bracha. The first day is Yontif, so you can say L'hadlik neiros al Yontif. True, and in any other Yontif, we wouldn't say bracha L'hadlik neiros al Yontif if you light candles in the middle of the day. But tonight is Yontif Sheni. So you're allowed to light the candles for tomorrow. And even though by saying the bracha, make it obvious and clear that the hadlaka is not only for now, it's for tonight as well. So what's wrong? So the Shalom understood that you may say a bracha. Yeah. In Shulchan Aruch, the Nisei Kelim quote in the Shulchan Aruch, this is not quoted. But the Taz and the Magen Avraham, they quote this pretty old minhag from the days of the late Rishonim, early Achreinim at least, that on the first night of Shavuos, either the different versions of the minhag, either you start davening late, you don't daven Maariv until Tzeis HaKrachim, you don't say Yontif Dikas Shmona Esrei until Tzeis HaKrachim, or some had the different version of the minhag when you go home to say Kiddush, so you shouldn't begin to say Kiddush until Tzeis HaKrachim. So many write that this was not a universal minhag. Many write that even saying Kiddush was not a universal minhag, that they treated Shavuot same as every other Yom Tov. You can be Maisa Mechal Ala Kiddush, and you can daven earlier, and you can say Kiddush earlier. But most places they have the minhag. The Shad is, what about, what's the reason for the minhag? So they give two different reasons. So in Shulchan Aruch, the reason that they give is because Sheva Shabbos is to be Mistihiyena. You have to have seven full weeks, and only then does Shavuos begin. So if you're going to be Mekabel Shavuos early, before the Tzeis HaKrachovim of the 49th day, so you don't have the Tmima, so Shavuos doesn't begin till after you have all the Sheva Shabbos to be Mistihiyena. So the Primigodim has a machlokes with the Knesset HaGdolah. What's the story on the second night of Shavuos? So the Knesset HaGdolah says, just like on the first night, you don't daven until it says Sakharavim, you don't say Kiddush, whatever your version of the minig is. The same is true regarding the second night of Shavuos. You have to wait till it says Sakharavim. The Prima Gaudim disagrees. He says nobody's counting Sphira on the first day. Sphira was finished already. The last day of Sphira was Erev Shavuos. Erev Shavuos was the 49th day of the Sphira. And then the first day of Shavuos, you don't count Mitam Sveka Diyayma. Another Sphira Saima. So the Tmimus is finished already. The whole Sphira Saima is finished already. So there's no reason why you have to wait till Tzeis HaKrachim on the second night. The Prima Gaudim disagrees with the Knesset HaGdolah. Prima Gaudim lived there, two cities, Frankfurt. Prima Gaudim was a Galatianer, but he lived in Germany. He was a Malamed in Frankfurt, but he was a Malamed in Frankfurt on the other. Frankfurt on the Main, they have a different meaning. That every Yontif Sheni Shel Golis, they don't begin Maariv until Tzeis HaKrachovim. Because if the women at home will know that their husbands may be coming home early, if they're going to daven Maariv early, so then the women may mistakenly put up the food, warm up the food on Yontif Rishon for Yontif Sheni, and that the Gemara says you're not allowed to do. You're not allowed to do Melachas on the first day Yontif for the second day Yontif. But if they know that in Shul they're not going to begin davening Maariv, they're not going to start saying Baruch Hu until Tzeis HaKrachovim, the night of the Leil Sheni of Yontif Sheni, every Yontif Sheni Shel Golias. So the women have plenty of time till they're going to finish Maariv. It'll take 20 minutes, 25 minutes till they come home. Take another 5 minutes, another 10 minutes. They have plenty of time. They have half an hour from the time that it's Tzeis HaKrachovim till the husband is going to be home to eat the Sudas Yontif. So, where the Prima Gaudim lived, they didn't have that minhag. Not to daven on Yontif Sheni Shel Golias till Tzeis HaKrachovim. That was in Frankfurt on the Main, they had such a minhag. But so the Prima Gaudim says he doesn't see what's wrong with davening Maariv early on the second night. It's got a lot of people would prefer to daven Maariv early. because it's so late. The Shkia is already after 8. It's going to be 8 o'clock. And then till you wait till Tzitzis Chacham is another half hour till you daven. You don't begin to eat till 9:15, 9:30. It's very late. So a lot of people would prefer that. So there's room to be made. What is the rationale and what's the hesber for those who hold that the Knesset HaGdolah, that even the second night also you should wait for Tamimas? So the Netziv in his commentary on Chumash, as well as Rav Shlomo LeVilna, they were contemporaries. Rav Shlomo LeVilna was a dayan in Vilna. He was the Magia on the Vilna Shas. So they both have a different suggestion, that the minute to wait to daven or to say Kiddush after Tzeis Kachom is not based on Tamimas. That's the original Tam that's quoted by the Nesi Kelem on Shulchan Aruch. So they suggest that maybe it's not based on Tamimas, maybe it's based on the fact that the Pasuk says Mikra Kodesh, but something Be'etzem Ayam Azeh, Krosim Be'etzem Ayam Azeh Mikra Kodesh. So Krosim Mikra Kodesh means you should be Sad Kiddush. Be'etzem Ayam Azeh means Itzumashal Yom, to the exclusion of Tosefens. That even though Masifim Echol Ala Kodesh, but you shouldn't recite that pasuk happens to say by Shavuos. Krosim Be'etzem Ayam Azeh Mikra Kodesh, it means you shouldn't say Kiddush till it's actually Itzumashal Yom. Till it's actually Yontif, not during this Zman of Tosef. So you say like that, it's not nothing to do with Tmimah. It's nothing to do with Sheva Shabbos' Tmimah. So if it applies to the first day, it applies to the second day. But I don't think one is Mechuyev. So I knew Drosha. I remember when I was a student in high school, the Rebbe was a European, so he told us that the Chafetz Chaim had Tainus against the Netziv, that he made up his own Droshas, he made Adinim Deraisa, Darshim Sukkim like a Tana. Every so often, he interprets a pasuk and he comes up with a new din d'araisa that doesn't say anywhere in the Gemara. He says, that's what it says in the Chumash. He darshans on, that's what he did over here. Shlomo LeVilna, with the Netziv, they both made up, but it's only a remes, this is only a minig, it's not a real din, but the way the Netziv presents it, Kehilu, it's a real din d'araisa that you can't begin to say Kiddush until Tzeis HaKachavim. In the davening, we mentioned in the Shemoneh Esrei, Tzidon Hashem Elokeinu. How do we say? Chagashuas Azeh. Mikra Kodesh Zecha Litzias Mitzrayim. What's the expression, Mikra Kodesh? So we usually assume Mikra Kodesh means Yisem Alochem. Katsher be Yisem Alochem, that's how the Gemara suggests. So the Beis Yosef says, so why did they put that, why did the Mesadre HaTfilah, the Anshei Knes HaGdolah, who composed the Nusach HaTfilah, why did they put that expression in the Siddur? So the Beis Yosef writes in Hilchas Pesach, when they have the Nusach HaTfilah, he says, one gets the impression that the Mesadre HaTfilah, who composed the Nusach of the Shemoneh Esrei, thought along the lines of the Ramban. The Ramban al HaTor and Parshas Emor interprets Mikra Kodesh, Miloshin Eile Krui Ha'eda. Krui Ha'eda means the deeds of the people who gathered together representing the Tzibur. So here, Mikra Kodesh means a day of holy assemblage. We should all gather together to have Tefillah B'Tzibur and to have Talmud Torah B'Tzibur. That's how the Ramban learns. So the Beis Yosef writes that he gets the impression that the Mesadre HaTefillah who put this expression, Mikra Kodesh Echot Tzias Mitzrayim, put that phrase Mikra Kodesh into the Nusach of the Shemoneh Esrei, and all the Amitayim is because they thought like the Ramban. Mikra Kodesh means a day of holy assemblage, we gather together to daven Tefillah B'Tzibur. So because we're davening Tefillah B'Tzibur, that's why we call it a Mikra Kodesh. Because if it only refers to Yisim Alochan, so why do they put it into the Nusach HaTfilah? An interesting idea. Baruch Epstein, the author of the Torah Tamimah, has an autobiography where he writes about his family and then he writes about a lot of things in learning also. So he has one chapter where he talks about the title of the chapter, I seem to remember, is Kochavim No Tzitzim, Twinkling Stars. So he talks about different misprints, about the Toyot and the Siddur and the Gemara. He thinks he found a few printing errors in the Gemara. So he has his suggestion. It's backed up by some old Kisveyad, but it was never really accepted. He thinks that the Nusach HaTfilah Mekadesh Yisrael B'Hazmanim was really Mekadesh Yisrael B'Chag HaShavuos, Mekadesh Yisrael B'Chag HaMatzah, Mekadesh Yisrael B'Chag HaSukkos. And it said Mekadesh Yisrael in big letters, then Bahazmanim in parentheses, and whatever this manim is, you should fill in the missing line. There are such old Haggadahs that have the Kiddush on Leil Pesach, that it says Mekadesh Yisrael v'chag ha-matzos. I seem to remember in Rabbi Mendel Kasher's Haggadah Shlema, he put out all the Torah Shlema, so he put out a Haggadah Shlema. So he says that in some old Kisviyat, that is the Nusach. So there were such old Nusachs. But Rabbi Soloveitchik didn't agree, and he used to mention this in public, that he disagreed personally. He met Rabbi Baruch Epstein, and he disagreed, and he thought that it wasn't correct. Just because on Rosh Hashanah he said Mekadesh Yisrael L'Yom HaZikaron and Yom Kippur said Mekadesh Yisrael L'Yom HaKippurim, doesn't necessarily follow that on Pesach, Shavuos, and Sukkot you say a Pirut Mekadesh Yisrael L'Chag HaShavuos, because Sholosh HaGolim have something in common, different from Rosh Hashanah and different from Yom Kippur. So he said he thinks it's a goodness of Mekadesh Yisrael HaZmanim. Zmanim refers to Shalvash Regalim as opposed to Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. Rosh Hashanah is Lachut, Yom Kippur is Lachut. Shalvash Regalim, you have one Lashon Mekadesh Yisrael HaZmanim. Yalav Yavai, the Mefarshim explain, why do we only recite Yalav Yavai Zichronen Efigdenen on Yom Tovim and Rosh HaDosh, and why not on Shabbos? So the Rishonim explained that it's based on the Pasuk in Parashas Bahaloscha. Yom Simchascha Ma'adechem Rosh HaChadshechem. Uskaitem b'chatzertzus ala losechem azilich shanarechem, v'niskaitem lefnei Hashem alakechem. The purpose of tkiyas chatzertzus, it's like a tefillah, we should be remembered by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So it says, yam simchaschem adechem rosh chatzechem, am rosh chadoshem en an yom tayvim en achal amoy. Then you say, yalav yav zich en ein efik den ein, we should be remembered. On Shabbos, we don't say yalav yav, because we didn't have any tkiyas chatzertzus. The Sifrei has a comment on it. Yom Simchaschem Eilu Shabbosis. The Sifrei interprets that as if they had a blow chatzaitzvus on Shabbos also, not just on Yom Tov. The Mishnah in Erechen that talks about Kiyas Chatzaitzvus doesn't seem to agree at all. Mishnah in Erechen tells you which days the blow chatzaitzvus, only on Rosh Chodesh and Yom Tovim, not on Shabbos. Pashtus says that the Mishnayos do not represent the same sheet as the Sifrei. On Shabbos they didn't say, they didn't blow chatzaitzis, and there's no inyan of it in this card. This year, Shavuos is going to be Monday and Tuesday. When a yanta falls out on Shabbos, that's a question. When you say Yalav Yov and Nishman Esrei, do you also mention Yom Shabbos HaMarech Hazeh, Yom Chag HaMatzis Hazeh? Do you mention Shabbos also or not? So in the big Siddur, Oitzah Tfilas, they have Heoris from Rebbe Shai Berlin. He was a contemporary of the Nodi Yehuda. So he has a taina. How can you mention Shabbos in Yalav Yavai? There was not Tkiyas Chatzaitzus on Shabbos, so Shabbos doesn't fit in. It says, V'nizkartem l'fnei Hashem l'kechem, in conjunction with Tkiyas Chatzaitzus. On Yom Tov you have Tkiyas Chatzaitzus. On Shabbos you don't have, so why should you mention Shabbos? So the Pashto said that was the old meaning of the Bali Atesus, the Ramon Shulchan Aruch writes. And when you say Yalav Yava and Nishman Esrei on Yantim Shecholias B'Shabbos, next week Shavuos is not Cholias B'Shabbos, but in any Yantim that's Cholias B'Shabbos, so there are more rites like that. He quotes this meaning from the Balei Ha'Tosfos that you do mention Shabbos and Yalav Yava. The Mishnah Berurah says nobody follows that meaning today, but that used to be the old Maharil record. That used to be the old meaning of the Balei Ha'Tosfos. So it's Takataina. Why do you mention Shabbos and Yalav Yavai? So the Pashto says, we spoke on different occasions, there's a big machloikas halacha lemaisa, whether when Yom Tov Cholias B'Shabbos, the two blend in to become one hyphenated Kedushas Hayom of Shabbos and Yom Tov, or do you say no, that you have Kedushas Shabbos and Kedushas Yom Tov superimposed on top of Kedushas Shabbos, each one is separate, they don't blend in together. So that's the shaila. If you hold that they blend in together, and on Yom Tov you have Tkiyas Chatzaitzus, so you have Niskartem L'fnei Hashem Elokeichem. So it makes sense, and the Kedushas Hayom blends in together. So the Chatzaitzus has a Shaychus with Shabbos as well. So then it would make sense to mention Yom Shabbos HaMenach HaZeh in the Yalav Yavai. But the meaning today is that we no longer do that. When we recite the Kiddush on Leil Yom Tov, we always say Shachyanu at the end. The Gemara says Shachyanu is not really connected with the Kiddush. Shachyanu, the Gemara in Erevin, Daf Mem, Amit Bey says Shachyanu. I'm Rafila Bashuk. You can even say Shachyanu while you're walking in the street, and that's what we do on Leil Yom Kippur. After Kol Nidre, everybody says Shachyanu. The Chazan says it, everybody says along. You say Shachyanu because the Gemara says it's not proper to say Alakos because you don't gain anything. It's only considered a Brach Alakos if someone's going to take a sip of the wine. I'm a Brach Tzarech She'itam. So Yom Kippur, once you say Shachyanu, you're at it. Mekabel Kedushas Hayom. So you can't drink the wine, and it's not a smart idea to give it to a child to drink, because it's a bad chinuch. The child will grow up, and he'll remember as a child they gave him the wine to drink, and he won't realize that that was before Bar Mitzvah, now he's after Bar Mitzvah. So the Gemara says it's not a good idea to give the wine to a child. So you don't gain anything by just holding a cup of wine when you say Shachyanu. That's not a bracha lakos unless someone's going to take a sip of the wine. So our minig is, the Gemara says, we save Shachyanu till the end of the Kiddush, since we're saying Kiddush alayayin, so it may as well enhance the significance, the chashivas of the bracha of Shachyanu, to make it into a toast, and make it into a bracha alakos. So that's why Rabbi Akiva Eiger on the Shulchan Aruch quotes Rabbi Yankov Emden, who says that it's not really a correct practice. Many of the women recite Shachyanu when they benchlicht. So the men could have also said Shachyanu, shalo alakos. They could have said Shachyanu in shul. Before Ma'ariv, like you do on Yom Kippur. We say Shachyanu after Kol Nidre. But we don't do it. Why? Because we want to enhance the chshivas of the Shachyanu, that it should be a bracha lakos. That's more chashiv a bracha. So it's really not proper, the practice that many women have, that they recite Shachyanu when they bench licht, so they lose out. They're cheating themselves. The bracha Shachyanu, the yoytze, but the bracha Shachyanu could have been enhanced by saving it till the Kiddush, then being Yotze Shachyanu alakos. Many have the practice, Rabbi Yosef Karo, before he moved to Eretz Yisrael, he was still in Europe, so one Leil Shavuos, he was learning with Shlomo Alkabetz, the one who composed the Lecha Dodi for Leil Shabbos. So they were learning B'charusa together, and on Leil Shavuos, all of a sudden, he heard a voice coming out from his mouth, and it was like Moshe Rabbeinu. When Moshe Rabbeinu said, oh, but the Dinim, Moshe Rabbeinu spoke about politics, if he did talk about politics, so he spoke about the current events, he spoke about sports, whatever. So it was Moshe Rabbeinu's voice, and he was stuttering. When he said, over the Dinim, he wasn't stuttering, he wasn't a kvat be'er, kvat loshen, and it wasn't his voice, and he had a booming voice of Shechina medaberes mitoch grana. Wasn't his voice. In the middle of learning on Leil Shavuos, the Beis Yosef lost his voice, and a voice was speaking through his throat. So they understood that this was the Mishnah. I don't know what that means. This was the soul of the Mishnah was speaking through, and that was the Maggid that he had for many years. He had a Maggid who would reveal secrets in Kabbalah and Halacha to him, and he wrote a whole sefer, Maggid Misharim. He wrote all the things that the Maggid told him. There were three different Rabbanim in the same generation with the name Yosef, and the Mekupalim say that there was a question in heaven, which one of them would write the major Sefer, the Shulchan Aruch turns out, that would be a guide for the Jewish people for many generations, many centuries to come. So it was chosen, it was decided that it's Rabbi Yosef Karo. So one of the others was Rabbi Yosef Taitatzak. He was the Rav in Constantinople. He's known, sometimes known as Mari Tatz, Rabbi Yosef Taitatzak. There was another Mari Tatz who lived in Tzfat, the same time as Rabbi Yosef Karo. That was Maharit Tzahalon. He was younger, but his name wasn't Yosef. So this Mari Tatz from Constantinople, he also had a Maggid, but they say his Maggid was a lower level of a Maggid. His Maggid was the Maggid of Torah Shebichsav. As opposed to Rabbi Yosef Karo's Maggid, his Maggid was the Maggid of the Mishnah, the soul of the Mishnah speaking. I don't know what that means. So from that time on, that the Beis Yosef, on Leil Shavuos, when he was learning Bacharusa with Shlomo Alkabetz, Shlomo Alevi Alkabetz, and he got this Maggid talking through his throat. So from that time on, it became a minig that many more people stay up all night learning. So then when the people stay up all night learning, then when it comes in the morning, so they're exhausted. So a lot of times they want to start davening early. So there's a question, is it permissible? The Mishnah in the Mishnah Megillah says, Adav she mitzvasa bayom is kosher kol hayom, l'chatchila you should wait till after Hanetzach Chama, but yevid, if you do the mitzvah before Hanetzach Chama, as long as it's after Ados HaShachar, you would be yotze. So there's a big machlokes in the Mishnah Brura, he quotes a big machlokes. What about the Dam HaShachris? Is there a din l'chatchila she really not daven Hashman Esrei of Shachris before Hanetzach Chama? Vosikin means that you daven in such a way, you arrange your davening in such a way that you say Kriya Shema right before Hanetzach Chama, then you get to the Shema Nesra right after Hanetzach Chama. So that's a hidur, the daven masiki yirauucha im shamish. We demonstrate how Yerushamayim, as the sun is about to come up, how do we demonstrate how Yerushamayim? By reciting Kriya Shema right before Hanetzach Chama, and by reciting the Shema Nesra right after Hanetzach Chama. So if the person is going to daven Shema Nesra before Hanetzach Chama, he will be missing that kiyum, that hidur, Vasikin. But is it improper lechatchila? Is it only good b'dievet? Or is it even mutter lechatchila to daven shachris manesi before Hanetzach Chama? Why? Because in the Beis Hamikdash, every day they brought the Tamar Shel Shachar before Hanetzach Chama. So that's a big machlokes achrayim. Some achrayim said the zman of all the tefillas was instituted corresponding to the zman of the hakrovas hakarbonis. So since every day in the Beis Hamikdash, they always brought the Tamar Shel Shachar before Hanetzach Chama. So there's nothing wrong with davening Shachris Dikin Shmanes before Hanetzach Chama. There's a 6 o'clock minyan. 6 o'clock minyan gets to, a lot of time gets to Shmanes before Hanetzach Chama. And others disagreed. They said, no, that in the Beis HaMikdash is a different story because Kohanim's reason made. Because the Kohanim and the Beis HaMikdash has reason. Rashi writes in one place, because the Bez Nagodol is on the tail, to make sure that they don't make any mistakes in HaKrovus HaKrovonis. Not the Kohanim on their own has reason. The Kohanim and the Beis HaMikdash has reason. Not Kohanim all over the world. Kohanim and the Beis HaMikdash has reason. Because members of the Bez Nagodol are there to guide them every step of the way. But by us, we can't say Kohanim's reason. Maybe it's not right l'chatchila. The Daven Shemana Esri before Hanetzach Chama. So that was a big machlok. So the Mishnah Brura paskin that it's only good for the effort. You really shouldn't daven Shachris Shmanesim Shachris before Hanetzach Chama. Rabbi Tzila Teteburger, the Pri Yitzchak, the one we mentioned before, who had the tshuva about the it's not right to light Neris Yontif Balayla when the husband comes home, she really light an Erev Yontif, because of Kibbut. True, you'll be Yotze Einig, but you want to light Midbar Yom to be Yotze Kibbut. So Rabbi Tzila Teteburger has in the same, in the Pri Yitzchak, he has a tshuva about this. And he claims that it's muta heta gomer to daven Shmoneh Esrei, not like the Mishnah Brura. He says it's okay to daven Shmoneh Esrei before Hanetzach Chama. He won't have the heder of a sikkim. So that's what many do. In the yeshivas, they usually arrange it Shavuos in the morning that they daven a sikkim. So they say Shmoneh Esrei before Hanetzach Chama, then they say Kriya Shema before Hanetzach Chama, then they get to say Shmoneh Esrei right after Hanetzach Chama. But in other communities, other places, the practice is that the Dam Shachris, Shmon Esrei have Shachris on Shavuos, because the people are tired and exhausted. So they want to daven Bosfriya, they want to daven earlier. So they make all the Dam Shmon Esrei before Hanetzach Chama. So the question is, what about saying Hallel before Hanetzach Chama? So Hallel says, Beferish in the Mishnah Megillah. Shmon Esrei have Shachris doesn't say one way or the other. And the Mishnah it says, you shouldn't blow the shofar before Hanetzach Chama. You shouldn't shake the lulav before, you shouldn't say halal before. I think it says a bris milah also, you shouldn't do it, l'chatchil, you shouldn't do a bris milah before an Eitzach Chama, but by the Eber, if you did, you're yaitze. So it never says about Shmoneh Esrei Shachris. So that Rabbi Tzila Teteburger thinks that that's mutter l'chatchil. But halal says in the Mishnah, it's not proper to say halal before an Eitzach Chama. So the Prima Godim says, we have a klal, Prima Godim Hilchos Shavuos writes, we have a klal, that Shasatak the Ebedami, Bishasatak, we allow Lichatchila, what usually is only permissible, what is only acceptable, B'di'evet. So true, if you said Hallel before Hanetzach Chama, it's only good B'di'evet, Lichatchila shouldn't do it. But because the people are exhausted, because they stayed up all night and they want to daven quicker in order to be able to take a nap on Shavuos in the morning, so he says there's room to justify the practice that they say Hallel before Hanetzach Chama also. But usually is only permissible b'di'evet. It's questionable. That's the chiddush of the Prima God. The Baal HaTanya has a chiddush in the Nusach HaTfilah of Musaf. He came up with a chiddush that usually on Yamim Tovim we say B'soy L'chaper. We read the psukim, how many oilos you bring, and then you say, B'soy L'chaper. On Shavuos there were two seirim. There was one sawyer part of the Musaf, and then there was another sawyer that you bring in conjunction with the Shtei Lechem. So the Baal HaTanya thought, and more correct is, you should mention that in Musaf also. So on Shavuos, both days, you say Shnei Sirin Lechaper. Interesting, here are a good point. The Mishnah Brura quotes from some Achrayim and several Achrayim that women are not obligated. The Mishnah in Brochas on Daf Chav says that women are chayiv in tefillah. How many tefillahs are they mechuyiv to daven? So the Pashta says Shachris, Mincha, and Ma'ariv. So the Mishnah Brura chisels off Ma'ariv. He says, since tefillahs are rishus, even though Kvash Av Yualai Chayva, he says the women don't seem to have accepted it as a Chayva. So Ginuk, if they daven Shachris and Mincha. Okay. So then the Mishnah Brura chops off also, he quotes the Tzlach and other Achrayim. They chop Tzlach is by the Nodi Behuda on Brachas. So the Tzlach came up with the Chiddush that since the women were not obligated to donate Machzah Sashekel, and the Korban Sibo were paid for with the Machzah Shekel money, so since Musaf is really a Neshama form, Tfilas Musaf is really a Neshama form, Hosseinu, the women were not Mechuyev to chip in to pay their share of Machzah Shekel. Once the Karbonis Tzibur were brought, it's Karev on behalf of all the Jewish people who live all over the world, I might say, the Karbonis Tzibur are offered on behalf of the whole Tzibur, that includes the men, the women, and the children. But since the women were not Mechuyev to participate in the Machzah Shekel campaign to give the Machzah Shekel, so the Mishnah Brura quotes that Tzlach, he thinks that women are not Mechuyev to daven Musaf either. So based on that, there are some who came up with an Einfall that in the Chumash it's a little unclear. It says you only have to give Machzah Shekel from the age of 20 on. So the Chumash is talking about a different Machzah Shekel. The Chumash is talking, if you're taking a census to see how many men you have who are fit to serve in the army, called Bol Atzava, Rashi points out at the beginning of Chumash Bamidbar, this week's Sedra, that you don't draft a boy into the army till the age of 20. So that you don't have to give Machzah Shekel if you're taking a census of the Tzibah to find out how many soldiers you have who can serve in the army. Those younger than 20 don't have to give Machzah Shekel because you don't draft them into the army. What about Machzah Shekel that the Chumash does not talk about? The Torah Shem Alpeh says there was another Machzah Shekel that went towards the funding of the Karbonis Tzibah. And if somebody will donate $5 million to cover all the expenses of the Karbonis Tzibah this year, the Gemara says that Tzibah will not be Yotze. The Tzedukim during the Bayi Sheni were running the show in the Beis HaMikdosh for quite a few years. So their practice was that they would allow an individual wealthy person to donate a fortune of money to cover all the Karbonis Tzibah. And when the Chachamim succeeded in kicking them out of the Beis HaMikdosh, he took him to Mida, the Korban Tumah was reestablished. It was brought properly that you only yotze the Karbonis Tzibur if it's paid for by the Machzah Shekel money. You have to give the Machzah Shekel money. So that Machzah Shekel doesn't say in Chumash that you only give from the age of 20 on. So that's a big dispute in the Rishonim. In the days of the Rishonim, there was a Machlokes. You have Tosfei HaRosh, Mishnah Yishkolim. You have different Rishonim. So some Rishonim have the Girsa in the Rishonim. That depends on two Girsas in the Rishonim, whether Machzah Shekel for the purpose of the Karbonis Tzibur is also only the Ben Esim Shana Vamayla or the Bar Mitzvah on. So according to those who had the Girs and the Rishami that younger than the age of 20, you're not Mechuyev to give Machzah Shekel for the Kabbana Sibur, so it should be, if you adopt the position of the Mishnah Berurah B'Dishem Ditzlach, that the women are not Mechuyev to Dava Musav, because they didn't have to donate to the Machzah Shekel, so the younger people, younger than 20, also should not be Mechuyev to Daven Musaf. They can volunteer to Daven Musaf. But if they're not Mechuyev, then it's not right. You shouldn't have them serve as the Shliach Tzibur. So if one younger than 20 is not mechuyev to participate in machzah shekel, and one is not mechuyev machzah shekel, not mechuyev to daven musaf, so it's not right, they shouldn't be the shliach tzibur either. I think the first one who said this is the one who published the Besamim Rosh. The Besamim Rosh is supposedly a collection of tshuvas by the Rosh. Then, and the one who published it was an unknown person, but his father was a prominent Talmid Chacham. So he has, if I'm not mistaken, has Haskama from the Rebbe Yehuda. He lived in the 1700s, has Haskama from the Rebbe Yehuda, another major Talmid Chacham. They knew the father as an honest person. Turned out that the son was a big faker, and the tshuvas are a forgery. And the Chassam Sofer realized it already, so he refers to it as the Kizvei HaRosh, Chav Zayin Beis Yud, the forgery, the fake tshuvas HaRosh. And he has things there that are clearly not said by the Rosh. The things are mamash apikursis. Remember, Rav Soloveitchik also mentioned that it's a forgery. So the one who put it out, the one who made the forgery, has footnotes on the bottom. That's called Kasa Daharsana. So he has this chiddush that anyone younger than 20 is not mechuyev to daven musaf, because they want mechuyev to give machzah shekel, and therefore they can't serve as the shliach tzibur mishenim mechuyev bedover and emot yosar rabbi midei chayvos. So that's questionable. Both points are questionable. Whether the tzlach is right that women are not mechuyev to daven musaf, that's also questionable. And whether people younger than 20 are not mechuyev to give the machzah shekel for the korban tzibur purposes, that was a big machlokes in the days of the Rishonim. On Yom Tov, the Poskim point out that there's a special mitzvah to give tzedakah. It says in the Psukim, "V'smachta tov alei v'rakeh v'yasam amon asher b'kir becho." The Rambam writes in Hilchas Yom Tov, if a person eats and drinks and he makes merry, he calls that simchas hakeres. But the way to really fulfill simcha is to give to the less fortunate people. B'kir v'yasam amon asher b'kir becho, to give to the people who can't afford on their own. So it's not stuck at a yeshiva. It's not that important to give tzedakah to yeshiva. It's also important. But it's special to give tzedakah to the umlolim, to the less fortunate people. So that's why there's a mitzvah to make an appeal on Shalosh Regalim. Because whenever there's a mitzvah of simcha, so the way to enhance the simcha is to give tzedakah to those who really need it. The question, and that's why the meaning developed that you say yisker, because they're making an appeal to give to tzedakah, and people are giving tzedakah, they're pledging. So you say, in the schus of my pledging to tzedakah, there should be farechen as a schus for my father, for my grandparents who raised me and who taught me the significance of giving tzedakah. It's not that because we have a captive audience, all the people come to shul to say yisker. So since we have a captive audience, so we pressure them to give tzedakah. The minig began by making an appeal for tzedakah. Then once they developed that minig to give tzedakah, that's a mitzvah of Simchas Yom Tov. Once they developed that minig to give tzedakah, so then they decided to recite the Yisker. The question is, if a person gets an aliyah, he says, Mishaberach, and he says, Babusha, no, that he pledges to give an amount of money. So isn't that a violation of the Mishnah in Beitza on Daflam and Vavam and Beis? It says regarding Yom Tov, Kal Vachomer on Shabbos, that Eim Agdishin, you're not allowed to donate to Agdish. It's part of the din of Mecha Chamemka. Like you're not allowed to be Mekadosh and Isha, also part of the din. Mecha Chamemka is Gzeir Shem Meyichtov. So even though by a chasana, usually you write a ksuba or you sign the marriage license because you have to send it into the city clerk. So there's a Gzeir Shem Meyichtov, we understand. But even if you pledge money to Hegdish, there's also Gzeir Shem Meyichtov. That's what it says in the Mishnah. So how do we allow the people to pledge, to make pledges, Babush and Adar on Shabbos and Yom Tov? So the Rishonim, I think the Ran quotes Rabbein Hanano, the name Magdishan only applies if you're donating an animal, or you're donating a piece of silver or something. You Magdish a specific object at the end. An object, but if you pledge to give an amount of money, hare alai, you didn't say hare zu, you're not giving an object, so that's not included in a magdish. So that's very difficult. The Rishonim ask on Rabbeinu Hanan, how can he say that? The Mishnah says, Hey Makbish, Hey Marichim. Hey Marichim, there's no Harizu. It's just Hari Alai. You say, Erko Alai, Erki Alai. I want to give my Erech, a Pliny's Erech. So depending on whether Pliny or me is a male or a female, what and how old the person is, that's how the Torah tells you how much you have to give for Erechin at the end of Chumash Vayikra. So there is no Bien. You're not being Magdish an object. You're pledging to give a schumam and an amount of money. So Akta Rabbeinu Hanan will say that a Magdish only applies when there's a Bien. It's very difficult. So there's a Shilti Giborim on the side of the Rif who comes to defend this Rabbeinu Hanan. So he comes up with a wild Chiddush to defend the Rabbeinu Hanan. And you have the Mabit, who was a contemporary of Rabbi Yosef Karo. He was in the Bezdin in Sfat together with Rabbi Yosef Karo. They're famous. The Mabit is famous for having a few famous machloikas and with the Beis Yosef, but it would appear they function together all year long. It would appear that on 98% of all the issues, they agree with each other. Otherwise, how could they function on the Besen together? There are 1 or 2% of the issues in Halacha, but they disagree very strongly. And on some of the issues, the Besen made a cheram that no one's allowed to follow the Mabit. They have to follow Rabbi Yosef Karo. The machlekesim was so severe. So the Mabit has a safe on the Rambam, just like Rabbi Yosef Karo wrote a safe on the Rambam, Kesef Mishnah. So the Mabit also wrote a safe. But it's not the same. Kesef Mishnah always gives it all the marmakamis. Is it a Mishnah? Is it a Tosefta? Is it a Bavli? A Yerushalmi? Is it from the Chuvas Agoinim? Does the Ramban disagree? Does the Rashba agree? Disagree? So the Kesef Mishnah gives you a whole background. The Kiryas Sefer always has something, it doesn't give you always marmakindness, and he always says something that's a big Kiddush. So here the Mabit writes in the Kiryas Sefer the same as the Shilti Gibarim writes, to defend this Rabbeinu Hanan. The Mabit is not writing to defend anything, he's just giving pshat in the Parsha. See, they both come up with this wild idea. When I say Erko Alai, Erech Pliny Alai, what I'm doing is I'm really Magdish Pliny. And because I was Magdish him, I'm mechuyev to be paid to him in a Hegdish. How can I be Magdish Pliny? I don't a Magdish Dovish Eina Shaloi. I don't own him. He's not by Yevit Kanaini. How can I be Magdish him? So the answer is, the Hegdish is only Chal on the Bien of Pliny. Hegdish is Chal on Pliny with respect to the fact that I'm mechuyev to be paid to him in a Hegdish. That's Kula Chiddush. So that's in order to the Shilti Gibbon wrote it in order to defend this Rabbeinu Hanan. Rabbeinu Hanan says that the minig that we pledge to give money to tzedakah, we pledge to give money to the shul, whatever, when you have the appeal for tzedakah from the Yontif, when you get an ali, you say, Mishaber, Babush, Anadar, so you're pledging an abstract amount of money and not donating at the end, so that's why there's no violation of Eim Magdish. Ayat says, Eim Arichen. Eim Arichen is a Hagdosha of the end. You Magdish the person whose Erech you want to give, Erki Alai, Erech Pleni Alai, you're Magdish the person, and the Hegdish is Chal with respect to this din, and you're Mechuyev to be Poidim in a Hegdish. That's really a fantastic Chiddush, a very big Chiddush. But that's where the Minig comes from. The Minig to recite Yiska comes because they made an appeal. They made an appeal in Shul for Tzedakah L'Aniyim. And that enhances the kiyum of Simchas Yontov, the way the Rambam describes in Hilchos Yontov is not only Simcha Keres, it's a real Simcha. So once you're making an appeal for Tzedakah for Aniyim, so you may as well recite Yisker, that this should be Farechen, as a schus for the parents or the grandparents who brought me up and who educated me on the value of giving Tzedakah. It's interesting that the kids of Shulchan Aruch quotes that many had the minig, that the day on which one recites Yisker, the minig would be that people would light the Yortzeit candle that burns for 24 hours. So the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch is not happy with that, because he considers that a Ner Shel Avtola. Lighting a candle is a malacha. If you would have held Havara Lelav Yotzos, Havara, there are only 38 malachas, and Havara is not a malacha, it's a separate Yisker, and it only applies on Shabbos and on Yom Tov, there's no Issa Havara. So then a Ner Shel Avtola would be Mutta. You light a candle for no purpose at all. There are only 38 malachas. Havara is not a malacha, but we don't paskin like that. We paskin Havara is Lechalak Yotzes, Chilik Malachas. It's not Lalav Yotzes. There are 39 malachas, And to do Havara, you have to have a Tzarech HaChol Nefesh, or a Tzarech HaYom Ktsas. So what's a Tzarech HaYom over here? Kibbut Abi Haim. There's so many other ways to do Kibbut Abi Haim. It doesn't have to be Davke. You donate money to Tzedakah in honor of the parents. So you do Kibbut Abi Haim while the parents are alive. Yeah, a lot of people violated Kibbut Abi Haim while the parents were alive, and after they pass away, then they feel guilty. And then they spend a fortune of money on the coffin, on the tachrichim. So that's questionable whether that's proper or not. The Gemara says that Rabbi Gamliel made a takana, you shouldn't spend a lot of money on the tachrich. Rabbi Soloveitchik, I remember, once said, but they feel guilty that they didn't fulfill Kibbut Abi Haim. So the takana was only on the tachrich. There never was a takana that the coffin has to be inexpensive. So he says, okay, if they feel guilty, so let them spend money on the coffin. He didn't see what's wrong. I don't know. I would think that we should convince all the people they should buy a cheap coffin. They have another $100, another $1,000. So give it to a yeshiva, give it to a mikveh, give it to a viable cause. Why should you spend money on a coffin that's going to be buried in the ground? It's going to be wasted. Anyway, so the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch is not happy with this minhag that people light a yahrzeit lamp on the day on which they recite the Yizkor. He thinks that that's Ner Shel Avtala. He thinks that they shouldn't have that practice. Our practice is that by the Ashkenazim, we have a difficult minhag that we only do Chen on Yamim Tovim. Why do you only do Chen on Yamim Tovim? Because Toivayin Hu Yivorech, the Pasuk says, a person who's in a happy mood should give a bracha. So the Kohanim have all year long, they have a dangas ha-parnasa. Everybody is worried about parnasa. So even on Shabbos, when you don't go to work, no one is in the state of a toivayin hu yivorech. People are nervous about parnasa even on Shabbos. But somehow on Yom Tov, we assume that they're more relaxed. So on Yom Tov, it makes more sense to do. So we have the minig that whenever you do it by Musaf, the Ramah says in many shuls they have the practice, like it's mentioned in Ramah, you only duchen on Musaf on Yom Tov. And Broyers, they duchen for Shachriz and Musaf on Yom Tov. You only duchen on Yom Tov, but they duchen Shachriz and Musaf, and then they duchen on Nila also on Yom Kippur. Yeah. But in most shuls, you only duchen by Musaf. So the meaning is that when you duchen by Musaf, so you say the Piv Serb Alach Asim Asenu Ke Oilach Karbon. What is that all about? So we explained on many different occasions that duchening is really, the Gemara says in Perek Eilin Emarim, in the middle of Saitam, that duchening is only at the conclusion of Hakrobus Karbonis Tzibur. So if there's no Beis HaMikdash, there are no Karbonis Tzibur, so duchening cannot be there. Derisa B'Zmanazeh. So the Mishnah Berurah quotes that from Rabbi Yankov Emden, who wrote a sefer on the Torah in the Beis Yosef and Aruch Haim that's called Morik Tzia. So Mishnah Berurah says he's wrong. He doesn't write with all the respect. He doesn't write. He just says he's wrong. Rabbi Yankov Emden made a mistake. It's against all the sources. And duchening bismanaza is derais. Aye, but what's the answer? But the Gemara says, like Rabbi Yankov Emden, the only duchen at the conclusion of Hakrobas Kabbanas Tzibur. So Rabbi Soloveitchik said over from the Keren Ohr, and he, Keren Ohr is a sefer on Soita, it's on Kochim, and he has on Soita, on the Dorm Nosa Soita. So he says, when you say Ritzei, we're asking, Ritzei Be'am Chisol of Isfilosim, Ritzui is a technical term that appears in Tanakh, Ruba de Ruba, in connection with Karbonis. When the Karbon is kosher, it says Hurtza, Nirtza Lo Lechaper Olav. When the Karbon is possible, it says Loi Hurtza, the Karbon was not accepted. So when you say Yishmak Aleinu, when you dive in a regular Shmanes, Yishmak Aleinu, Tabel Barachamim of Rotz and Estrel, saying, please accept that Tfilis. Then the next line is said, "Say b'am chisol of isfil osam." We just said that kabbal brachman uratzan es tefilas. Say b'am chisol of isfil osam means, please accept the tefilas as if we had offered a korban. That's why we say ritzei. Ritzui is always in connection with karbonis. So when you say ritzei, you convert the tefila into what it's considered as if you brought a korban. So there's a tefilas ayochid and there's a tefilas atzibur. Is a korban yochid and a korban tzibur. So when the yochid is davening tefillah balachash, and he says ritzei, so he succeeds in converting the tefillah sayochid into a korban yochid. When the chazan is repeating the chazaras hashatz, he's davening tefillah hatzibur. When he says it say, he succeeds in converting the Tfilas HaTzibur into a Korban Tzibur. So when he succeeds in converting the Tfilas HaTzibur into the Korban Tzibur, so at the conclusion of HaKrovas Kaparas Tzibur, then you have Duchening. So that's what the Piyut is, V'ser V'alach HaSira Seinu, our Tfilas should be accepted, should be pleasant to you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ka'olach HaKorban. When you say B'ser V'alach HaSira Seinu, that piyut is just spelling out what is said anyway. Please accept the tefillas as if we would have brought a carbon. So that's why that's what enables us to duchen, because we have succeeded in converting the tefillas atzibur of the chazaras hashatz into a carbon tzibur. So many have the meaning that instead of saying hamachzir shchinos adetzion, they say shoscho levatcha biyira na'avoy. That was a nusach that they said in the Beis Hamikdash. We will avoid, it means avoid the sakarbonis. The Rabbi Chaim Volozhiner quotes that the Vilna Gaon was makbid not to change the nusach. You shouldn't change the nusach. You want to add piyutim, that's a different story. But to change the nusach of the bracha, instead of saying hamasir shenos alitzin seres levat chavir anava, that's not proper. The same thing on aseres amei tshuva. That the minig is that instead of saying Amorach HaSamisot Shalom, so people say Baruch Atah Hashem Osa Shalom. So the Vilna Gaon was opposed to that. You shouldn't change the Nusach. And the same thing on Leil Yontif. Leil Yontif, the minig used to be that the people said Marovis. Now they don't even have it printed in the Siddur anymore. In the Art School regular Siddur, they don't have Marovis. But years ago, every city used to have Marovis. I remember my father's shul, we used to say Marovis. And the shuls here in Washington, the Yekvish shuls also, they always said Marovis. So in the Bracha Gol Yisrael, they used to change the Nusach of the Chasim. Instead of saying Bracha Tashem Gol Yisrael, they used to say, I think, Tzuyisol V'Golo. So the Gro felt that that's not proper. You shouldn't change the Nusach of Bracha. You want to add Piyutim is one thing, but not to change the Nusach. That's not proper. Babies are born every day of the year. So if you have a milah bizmana, it's Derecha Shabbos, Derecha Yontif. If you have a milah shaloi bizmana, it's not Derecha Shabbos, and it's not Derecha Yontif. What about Yontif Sheni Shel Golius? So the Mishnah speaks about, the Mishnahs were edited by Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi, as we have them now. They were edited by who lived in Eretz Yisrael. In Eretz Yisrael, there is no Yontif Sheni Shel Pesach Shavuot, so it's only Yontif Sheni Shel Rosh Hashanah. So the Mishnah only talks about 2 days Rosh Hashanah. The second day Rosh Hashanah, you're not permitted to perform a milah shel bizmana. What about the second day Yontif or Pesach Shavuot Sukkos and Chutz Lartz? So the Mishnah doesn't say there's room to distinguish, because Yontif Sheni Shel Golius is not the same as second day Rosh Hashanah. 2 days Rosh Hashanah, the Gemara says Kedusha Achas Yom Arichta. Every other Yontif Sheni Shel Golius is not Yom Arichta. You have a lot of kulas on Yantam Sheni that you don't have on Yantam Sheni Shal Rosh Hashanah. So that's a machloek is the Ramam and the Rosh. But the Mishnah only, it's a Mishnah in Erechen and the Mishnah in Rabbi Lezer de Mila, in Masechah Shabbos, the same Mishnah appears both, that you're not permitted to perform a Mila Shalai Bizmano on the second day Rosh Hashanah. Never says, what about the second day of Pesach Shavuot Sukkos? So the Ramam holds Lahokil and the Rosh holds Lahachmer. I think the Shach is Paskin's Lahokil, but the common practice is Lahachma. We don't allow. We don't do a Milush Labizmana on Yontif Sheni Shel Golius. However, the Pesachei Teshuva there quotes from the Nodi Yehuda that if you have a Svek Sveika, then there's room to be Mekon. So what could be a Svek Sveika? So the Gemara in the beginning of Rav Lezer de Mila has a Machlekes Amaroim, which was never resolved. So we Paskin, it's a Sveika to Dina. What if a baby was not born naturally, not that the rechem pushed out the baby, there was a cesarean delivery. So the doctor put his hands in and he took out the baby. The rechem didn't push out the baby. The doctor took out the baby. So that's a machloikus amaroyim, where the yotze doifin has a din of mila bizmana. Do you have to wait till the eighth day, or can you do the bris the same day the baby was born? So that's a sveka de dina. So we pass him his suffix. You don't do the bris to the day the baby's born. You wait till the Yom HaShmini. But if the Yom HaShmini is Shabbos or Sunday, then you wait till the day. If the Yom HaShmini is either Shabbos or Yontif, then you wait till the next day. because it's a mila, it's a sotik, it's a mila bizmana, mila shlai bizmana, because of this unresolved machlokes amarayim, whether the bris mila of a yotzei daifen, a cesarean delivery baby, is considered a mila bizmana or not. You have to wait till yom hashmini. So let's say there was a cesarean delivery this week on Tuesday. So the bris will be scheduled for next Tuesday. Tuesday is the second day Yom Tov. So the Nadi Biyuda says, in that case, you have a sfeik. Maybe it's a mila bismana. Maybe a cesarean delivery does have a din of mila bismana. And even if it's a mila shla bismana, maybe the din is like the Rambam, that it's permissible to perform mila shla bismana and every other Yom Tov Shena Shel Golias outside of the second day Rosh Hashanah. They told me that Rav Moshe held not so. But the way I read in Rabbi Mordechai Pendler's Svarim, he wrote over a lot of Zichronis from Rav Moshe. The way he presents it, Rav Moshe wasn't talking about this case. The Moel who told me, I think the Moel misunderstood. The way Mordechai Pendler writes it, Rav Moshe never spoke about this case. This case, Nadi Biyuda says, this is a sfek sfek. So if you have, if it's a real Milush Lebizmana, the common practice is not like the Shach. Common practice is that you don't perform a mila shlai bismana yantam shenis shel golias. But if it's a suffic mila bismana, mila shlai bismana, either suffic because the baby was born bein hashmashes, or because bein hashmashes this week, Monday going into Tuesday. If it's bein hashmashes Tuesday going into tonight, Tuesday going into Wednesday, then you shouldn't do the bris next Tuesday. Maybe it's toksmana. You should wait till Wednesday. The isruchav. But if the baby was born last night, Bein Hashmashes, so that's a suffix whether Tuesday, next week is the Mila Bismana or not. And it's a Sveika Dedina, that's suffix and Metzias. Then it's a Sveika Dedina, where the Mila Shla Bismana is Dechi Yantam Sheni. So because of the Sveik Sveika, we would be Mekom. Bisman Shabbos HaMikdash HaYikayim, there used to be a din of Aliyah LaRegel. There used to be a din LeRoa Fonai Rekam. All the men, the women, all the men have to visit the Azara, and they have to bring a korban oil asriya. But bizman she'ein beis hamikdash kayim, everybody's tummy anyway, so it's not shaykh. So we don't go. So there was a Talmud Chacham who lived in Eretz Yisrael almost 100 years ago, Rabbi Akiva Schlesinger. He was a character. He was an Ungarische. He was a son-in-law of a Chassidish Rebbe, who was Rabbi Hillel Lichtenstein, Rabbi Hillel Kalamaya. He came from the city Kalamaya. He was a Chassidish Rebbe, and he, I think, was a Talmud of the Chasam Sofer. So this son-in-law of his, Rabbi Kivish Lezinger, moved from Hungary to Eretz Yisrael. He was the one, the famous cause celebre, that Rosh Hashanah fell out on Shabbos and he blew Shofar. The Mishnah says, when Rosh Hashanah falls out on Shabbos, you don't blow Shofar, because of Gzeir Shemei Avirenu. But it says, "Bamigdash ha'yetoyken avaloi b'medina." In the base Amigdash, you blow shofar. So the Rambam in the Pirush HaMishnayos seems to understand the quotes of Yerushalmi that "Bamigdash ha'yetoyken" doesn't only apply to the base Amigdash; it applies to the whole Ir Atika. So even though there's no base Amigdash today, so he lived in he was in the Ir Atika, so he blew shofar on Rosh Hashanah Shacholias B'Shamos. All the Rabbanim were furious, angry at him. He's doing shaloi kedin. In fact, it's not a din by Mikdash HaYitokin, it's a din and when out of Pachad for the Bez Nagodol. There is no Bez Nagodol today. It's not, even if you hold Yerushalayim, it's called Mikdash. But the reason why by Mikdash HaYitokin, because since you're in the presence of the Bez Nagodol, so the people will be more careful. Today, there is no Bez Nagodol in the Ir Atika. So the whole thing is, we assume is a mistake. The Rabbanim in Europe were tumbling in the newspapers because they announced well in advance what he's going to do. So in Europe, they were complaining about this in the newspapers. And the Rabbanim and Eitzel were opposed to it, but when it came to Rosh Hashanah, they all came to the Ir Atika to listen to the Tkiyah Shofar that he did. Maybe he is right. So they all went to listen to the Tkiyah. So they published a collection of his tshuvas. A collection of this, Rabbi Kiva Schlesinger. Apparently, when he wrote the tshuvas, they didn't have a Shari Tshuva printed next to the Be'etiv yet. Now that we have a Shari Tshuva, and especially you have a Mishnah Brura, so his tshuvas don't add anything. His tshuvas, he discovered all the things that it says in the Shari Tshuva, but that the Mishnah Brura quotes. So it's really just the family decided they wanted to be mechaber their great grandfather. So they reprinted all the old tshuvas of this Rabbi Akiva Schlesinger. So he had other chidushim also. So one of his chidushim was that the Gemara says on the first daf in Chagiga that whenever there's a kriya ksiv, so how do you establish the halacha? Do you paskan like the kriya? Do you paskan like the ksiv? So Tosis has the klal. Tosis, I think it's in Sanhedrin, daf Dalet. Gemara has a whole daf on Medalef on it based there in Sanhedrin. But Yeshem la mikra, Yeshem la masoris. Do you paskan like the kriya? Do you paskan like the ksiv? So Tosis says the klal is whenever you can establish the din based on the combination of the kriya and the ksiv together, that's the best. So you do like that. So the Gemara says kiyutan mayim al zera. So the word kiyutan is spelled without a vav. Yutofnun. So it's the ksiv is yitain and the kri is yutan. So we darshan yutan dumid the yitain. A yitain the nichalei, af yutan the nichalei. True, if it rains on the bushel of apples, if it rains on the apples, it could be huchshel a kapal tumme, only if the owner of the apples is nichalei. So there we establish the din based on the combination of the kri and the ksiv together. You have a few times like that. Whenever you can blend in the kri with the ksiv together is avadu. If you can't blend it in together, that's when you have the machlekes satanaim, whether Yeshem la mikra, you follow the kri, or Yeshem la masores, you follow masoretic text, that's the ksiv. So here the Gemara says, Sholosh par mashana yeiro ekol zechurcha. So the Gemara treats it as if it were a kri and a ksiv. It really isn't. That's the way you spell yeiroe. So the Gemara darshans it as if it says yire yeiroe. The ksiv is yire, and the kri is yeiroe. So we darshan both. We come to the Beis Hamikdash to be seen by the Shechina, Yeroe Kol Zechurcha, and we come to see the Shechina, Yeroe Kol Zechurcha. How can you see the Shechina? HaKadosh Baruch Hu Ein Lo Guf. HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't have a body, so how can you see the Shechina? So that's where Shlomo Levilner points out. The author of this Techemet was a Sfardi who was brought up in Hebron. He was born in Eretz Yisrael. And then he got a Rabbonis, I think somewhere in Uzbekistan or something like that. And they had different minhagim there. They had very different minhagim. So he didn't know whether the minhagim were minhagim shtus, or they were really based on something. So he corresponded with many rabbanim. And then he wrote this whole encyclopedia. That's called Stechemet. It's 9 volumes long. The 10th volume is his own tshuvas. But he has 9 volumes of an encyclopedia. So he corresponded a lot. Reb Shlomo Levilner corresponded a lot with him. Reb Shlomo Levilner points out the Gemara has... This is on the first Datan Chagiga. Yireh Yeroh, Kederach Shebol Liras, Kach Bol Liras. Just like we come, the men, the Bnei Yisrael, this Yeroh Kol Zechurcha. The men come to the Azar to be seen by the Shechina. We come to see the Shechina. How can you see the Shechina? So the Gemara says that in the Bais Rishon, when the Oran was located in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, and there was an amatrax, and there was a wall that was an amatik separating between the Echel and the Kodesh HaKadoshim. So there were windows in the amatrax in the wall that had curtains. So they used to roll up the curtains in the windows to show the people, the Olei Regalim, who were outside in the Azar, to show them the Kruvim hugging each other, Ruchi Baschem Lefnei Hamokim. The Pasuk says in Divrei Hayamim that the Kruvim were hugging each other, Kemar Ish Viliv Yosa. Like a husband hugs his wife, Kimahar Ishbil of Yosai, and there was one male kruv and a female kruv. Male kruv represents the Shechina, and the female kruv represents Klal Yisrael. So they used to show Ruchi Baschem Lefnei Hamokim. This image of the kruv and hugging represents HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So they used to, where did they get this Einfall? They should roll up the curtain and show the people the kruvim. So Rav Shlomo Levilner says, based on the pasuk, Yireh Kol Zechurcha, we should see the Shechina. You can't see the Shechina. And what else did they do? They used to show them the lechem aponim on the shulchan. They would bake the lechem aponim on Friday, not derech Shabbos. They bake the lechem aponim on Friday, put it on the shulchan Shabbos morning. It would sit on the shulchan till next Shabbos morning, and then they would take it off and eat it. It would be stale. It should be hard like a rock. It was sitting out of the freezer for a whole week. So the Gemara says, the pasuk says, lechem cham ki yom ilotchay. It was still warm and it was still fresh and it was still soft, like the day that it was taken out from the oven. Lechem cham ki yom ilotchay. So they used to lift up the shulchan and squeeze the lechem up on it to show the Olei Regalim that it's not stale, that a miracle occurred. So by showing the nisim, tedirim, the nisim, And there were a lot of nisim in Pirkei Avos. I saw nisim nas a lot of zayin based on Migdash. They would show them the nisim to dirim to show that there's a hashuas hashpineh. So that was the way they fulfilled the mitzvah of yira yiroi. That was yira called zechurcha. We see the kruvim hugging each other in the bais rish and bais sheni. The kruvim were not there, and they showed them the lechem apanu that it didn't become stale. So this Rabbi Akiva Schlesinger said, even though we don't have the ability to enter the Azara and to bring the Oilos Riyah, because we're all Tomei, we're not allowed to enter there, but we can still fulfill Yirikol Zchorcha. We should look, well, what are we going to see? You're not going to see the Kruvim, we're not going to see the Lechem Apanim, there's nothing to see. So he, according to Rabbi Shlomo Levin, you have to see something. So he didn't realize like that. So he thought you have to look to see the floor. What are you going to look at the floor of the Beis Hamikdash? What are you going to see? You're going to see Arab children playing soccer or playing games on the floor over there, the floor of the Beis Hamikdash. So that was his chiddush, that even today you have to take, everyone should come, all the men should come to look and see the floor of the Beis Hamikdash. So a lot of people still do it. They go to the rooftop. They used to go to the rooftop of Parat Yosef Yeshiva, and now they can go to the rooftop of Yeshiva Takotel Yeshiva, and then you can see the whole floor of the Mokam HaMikdash. So that's what people do. This Rabbi Akiva Schlesinger had a suffix, he wore glasses. So he just invented a new mitzvah, the 613 mitzvah. He may have invented the 614th mitzvah. Then on Shol HaShigolim, everybody has to go look at the Mokam HaMikdash. Are you Yotze if you're looking at the Mokam HaMikdash through the glasses? So he was machmed to take off his glasses. Take off the glasses, you don't see so well. But that was his chumah. He invented this new mitzvah. He's famous, he wrote the Chassam Sofer left the Tzavoa. So somehow his father-in-law got his hands on this Tzavoa, this Rabbi Hillel Kalamayer, Hillel Lichtenstein, who was the Chassidish Rebbe, the father-in-law of Rabbi Akiva Schlesinger. So he gave it to his son-in-law, and the son-in-law printed it, and he has a commentary that's called Lev HaIvri. He always signs his name Ivri. Ivri is a Rosh Tevis, Akiva something Ben, I forgot already, his father's name also, Akiva Yitzchak something Ben, somebody, Yechiel, forgot already. He has a second name that starts with a Yud, and his father's name begins with a Yud.
His name's Akiva Yosef.
Akiva Yosef?
Yeah.
Ben, his father's name was Yechiel or something, I forgot. That's why he calls himself Levo Ivri. Ivri is I and Yud, Akiva Yosef, Bear Red, and Yud. I think it's Yechiel, something like that. Anyway, so he put out this Lev HaIvri, his long, long, voluminous commentary on the Tzavoya of the Chassam Sofer. The Tzavoya is not that big, but he added a lot. The Gemara says in Sochim that as much of this Mikdash Kain main Simcha Levitzar Shlomin. You have to come to Yerushalayim and eat the shlomim. It's on Shein Beis HaMikdash Kayim, so you don't have shlomim. That's saying Simcha L'Biyayim. So that's a big machlekes achreinim. What do you mean? The Bizman is there. There's no value to eat basar because it's Bisar Chulin. So you don't have to eat basar at all. It's enough yayin. Are you saying, no, the basar is not sufficient. You need basar V'yayin. So I think it's usually assumed you need both together. The Mishnah Brura in the end of Chelekei writes in the Bir Halacha that he thinks that the Iker is like, he thinks that Rav Chaim Ol, that the Basar is not so significant today. The Iker is really the Yayin. You don't need the Basar at all. But when you learn Yeridea, on the first page in Yeridea, there's a Machlokes, the very first page, there's a Machlokes between the Yad Avram and the Yad Ephraim on the bottom of the page, on Yom Tov. On Shabbos, he can be Yotzei. On Shabbos, there's no Chiyav Simcha. There's only a mitzvah of Kibbutz V'Yonik. It's Yonik Shabbos. So you can be Yotzayinik Shabbos, Balbur Mislava Dogim. You can have fish and you can have chicken. You don't have to have the Sardahim. On Yom Tov, because there's a Chiyav Simcha, so you need Dafke. So some Achranim hold, you need Dafke Bisar Behema. You're not Yotzei with chicken. That's a Shadow. Let's say some people are vegetarians. Someone has come Korban Pesach, they have to have Korban Pesach, whether they like it or not. But what about on Shabbos? So Shabbos says there's no chiyuv simcha. It's a din of oinik. So whatever you enjoy. So if you don't enjoy, fleishik sahad melchit. That says in Shulchan Aruch. If a person enjoys fasting better than he enjoys eating, they'll learn to fast on Shabbos. That's his einig is determined subjectively. Shabbos, what about Simcha? So that's a discussion that Darkei Moshe, the Ramon, the Darkei Moshe, on the bottom of the tour, raises that question. Maybe Simcha on Yom Tov has an objective standard. Maybe it's not judged subjectively like einig. Maybe since Yom Tov has an objective, has a mitzvah of Simcha, so you have to have basar v'yayin, even if you're going to choke on it. Maybe that's the din. And then there's this machlekes on the first page in the Eruday, and maybe the basar has to be dapke b'sar behema. Maybe not yotze with b'sar oif. That's a shayla. Furus ha-meis, people dying every day. People never died before, they're dying now. So people die on Yom Tov. So the Gemara comment, the Gemara has din, man kvur ha-yom tov rishon ha-yidei amimim. The Moshe Feinstein thinks that this is the heter to do kvura on Yom Tov Rishni, Yom Tov Sheni, is not in order to fulfill the mitzvah of coveting Berena b'Yom Ahu. He thinks that they wouldn't have been makel for that. It's a heter based on kavod abrius, that the body is going to decompose, it's going to smell, it's going to be awful. It'll be a bizayon ha'meis. So therefore, this led him to believe that b'zman hazeh that we have freezers and you put the meis in a freezer, the body is not going to decompose so quickly. So he thinks that there's no heter at all to do a kvura on Yom Tov Rishon or Yom Tov Sheni. You have to postpone. I remember years ago, the Agudas of Rabbanim made an Isser that you're not allowed to have funerals on Yom Tov Rishon and Yom Tov Sheni for different reasons. Not because Rav Moshe was the main member of the Agudas of Rabbanim, but they weren't prepared to accept everything that he wrote. So they made an Isser for a different reason. I remember there used to be kvuras in the Bronx. So all the relatives would drive in from Maryland and from New Jersey, from Connecticut. They would drive in from all over in order to attend the funeral. Obviously, they were talking on the telephone. They were driving cars all over the place. There's a lot of Chilul Yom Tov involved. So that's why the Agudas Rabbanim did away with it. But the Rav Moshe felt that this man said there's no heter at all, because the whole heter only is because of the Bizoy and Hameis. The Hameis is going to decompose. Today you have freezers, and that'll solve that problem. Sometimes people stay, if you go away for Yom Tov, so you stay at someone else's home, the other people are away for Yom Tov. They went to their children, they went to Eretz Yisrael, so they're chutz l'tchum. And they give you permission to use whatever you want in the house. So let's say they have svarim in the house, you want to take a sefer out, you want to take something to carry in the street. So the Mishnah has in the end of Beitzah regarding tchum, Shabbos, tchum Yom Tov, atem v'akelim kiragle habailim. Wherever the owners are, let's say they have a library, a lot of svarim. So wherever the owners are, that's the tchum of their kelim. And if they're in Eretz Yisrael, or they're in England for Yom Tov, so then their svarim here in America are chutz l'tchum. So you're not allowed to take it chutz l'dalat amas of the kelim. So in the house, the whole apartment is kedalat amas dam. If there's an erev in the city, so the whole anything inside the erev is kedalat amas. So there's no problem. But if there's no air in the city, then you're not allowed to take anything out from the house into the street, even though otherwise you're allowed to carry on Yom Tov. If you need something, you're allowed to take a sefer to the park to read it on Yom Tov. But if the sefer is chutz l'tchum of the owner, because the owner is in England, the owner is in Eretz Yisrael, then you're not allowed to take it chutz l'dalat amas. So a lot of people don't realize that. Yeah, if a person is visiting by someone else, a lot of times, out of HaKoros HaTayim that I'm eating by someone else, I give them a matana. So the Mishnah says you're not allowed to do Mekech HaMemkar on Shabbos and Yom Tov, Gzeir V'Shem Yichtav. But what about to give a matana? So that's a machlokes. Some hold the Gzeir is only on Mekech HaMemkar, where you're selling, or you're buying something, you're paying money. You give a matana, see if you give a matana of karka. That's Xerish and Yichtav, because usually on Karka you do write a deed, you write a document that the person should be able to prove that it's his. But if you're giving over ownership of Metaltalin, most of the time you don't write any document. If he paid you money, or he's supposed to pay you money, so you're going to write down, he paid me for tax purposes, I got to pay tax on it, I write down he's not, he didn't pay me yet. I sold it to him for $20 and I didn't pay yet. So there's Xerish and Yichtav. But if you're giving Matana on Metaltalin, so some Rishonim are of the opinion that Matnas Mentaltalim Yad Liyad, I gave it over, he was kind of ready, and there's no fee, there's no charge, and there's no Gzer. But others disagree. Even Matnas Mentaltalim is also, and he says, but the Mishnah says the Pharisee, you're allowed to give the matana when you visit by someone on Yom Tov, says you're allowed to give the matana. So that's what they say. Maybe it's a makam mitzvah. Maybe it's considered because of Simchas Yom Tov, a makam mitzvah. That is permissible. One is permitted to give a matana of metaklin on Yom Tov, matana miyad liyam. Yeah, what's the din of taking a warm shower on Yom Tov? So the Mishnah has a machlekes bishamay bisilo. I think that's chafala from the base. Machlekes bishamay bisilo. What's included in heter echal nefesh? Bishamay only echal nefesh is food, preparing food. If you're chilly, you want to make a fire to keep yourself warm, or you want to cook water in order to bathe, to wash your face, wash your hands. So bishamay hold that that's not included in echal nefesh and it's not allowed. And Bisilu say that it is allowed, and we pass on like Bisilu. So there's a very long Rashbah. Rashbah usually is a short paragraph. Here there are two tall columns in the Chedusha Rashbah. The Rashbah quotes the Rambam in the Pirush HaMishnah. He says that according to Beis Hillel that you're allowed, we pass like Beis Hillel, you're permitted to heat up water to wash pan of yodah v'raglav. You're permitted to make a fire in order to keep warm, that this is called Echal Nefesh. Not that it's mitoich. This is Echal Nefesh Mamish. All Hanoas Aguf is called Echal Nefesh. And the Rashbah quotes those who disagree that it's not Echal Nefesh. We still agree with Beisham. Echal Nefesh is only if you're cooking food, you're doing Malach on food. And this is Mutah because it's the Torah Hayam Ktsas. We still allow you to carry a lulav, Lotzis Boy, you say to Torah Likus Boy, a Tinik Lamulai. You're allowed to do a Malach on Poitzoah for Torah Hayam Ktsas. That's Mitoch Shuuch for the Torah Echal Nefesh. So here also that they still permit you to heat up water to wash your face and to heat and to make a fire to keep yourself warm. That's not that. That's Echal Nefesh. Not like the Rambam wrote in the Pirush HaMishnah. This is Tzarech HaYom Ktsas. It's Midina Mitoich. So the Rishonim raise a question: why does the Mishnah only allow you to heat up water? Bisilo allows you to heat up water to wash pan of yodah v'ragla. Why not to take a shower and to take a bath? So they say, you see from the Mishnah that you're not allowed to do. Mechitzas kol aguf, you're not allowed to do. Why not? So Tosfos claims that it's a dover shein shavu l'chol nefesh. The Gemara says you're not allowed to, they had a practice in the days of the Tanoim. After they finished the meal, they would take a pan that had burning hot coals and sprinkle incense, b'samim on it, and the b'samim would burn, and they would inhale the fragrant smell of, they would say a bracha. And the Mishnah says, the Gemara says, Amascha v'mitzvah omu lo gemar. The one whom they were mechabit, the bench mezumen, he has the schus to say the bracha bari minim samim on smelling the mugmer that they would burn. So the Gemara says, you're not allowed to burn mugmer on Yom Tov. Why? Because the pasuk says, Acha shiach l'chol nefesh. Hu l'bal d'yos alechem. What is kol nefesh? The Gemara darsha has to be dob ha'shav l'chol nefesh. So mugmer is only the wealthy people could burn mugmer, and the poor people didn't do it. So the question is, what's the definition of davar shav l'chol nefesh? So Tosfos says that to wash pan of yodah v'raglav with warm water, everybody wants to do that, but to take a whole bath, that's a davar shein shav l'chol nefesh. Only mefunokim do that. Normal people don't necessarily do that. That's what Tosfos writes. If that's the reason why you're not allowed to take a bit, because davar shein shav l'chol nefesh, only mefunokim do it. So b'zman hazeh, everybody, in the days of George Washington, in the days of Abraham Lincoln, they took a bath two times a year or something, and the rest of the year when they smelled awful, they would throw perfume on the body. But with today, it's very common. Everybody takes a bath at least once a week. Some people even twice a week, once a day, whatever, twice a day. People take a bath much more often. So if the reason why you're not allowed to take a bath is because davar shein shav l'chol nefesh, you're heating up the water to take a bath is ein shav l'chol mefunokim, so today it would be mutter. Al pi pashtus, it would be mutter. Some say that since in the days of the Mishnah it was ein shav l'chol nefesh, it didn't stay the same. Why should it be like that? I don't think that makes any sense at all. So the pashtus is, if you all like Tosfos, then it should be heter gomer. But the Ramban was a doctor, and the Ramban disagrees with Tosfos. What do you mean? He finds it hard to believe that even in the days of the Tanoim, even in the days 1,500 years ago, even in the days 2,000 years ago, even in the days of the Tanoim, he thinks that it was still Shavu L'chol Nefesh. Everybody knew that it's healthy to bathe. It's not only for Mufunot. So the Ramban says the reason why you're not allowed to take a hot bath even applies b'zman hazeh, was they made gzeiras habalonim. That's in the third perek in Kira. Third perek in Masech Shabbos. Shabbos has 24 prokim. So perek Kira they have. That in the days of the Tanoim, people didn't have a private bathtub or a private shower. They would go to the public bathhouse. Public bathhouse would be taken care of by a balon, a bathhouse attendant. And the balonim were not the most observant, but not the most religious people. They weren't so medakpik. So there used to be Mechal Shabbos. The people, the customers would come on Shabbos afternoon to take a hot bath or a hot shower. And they would turn on the fire on Shabbos to cook the water. They're Mechal Shabbos. And when the people asked them, was the fire on for Erev Shabbos? They said, yeah. They would tell a lie with a straight face. Yeah, the fire was on for Erev Shabbos. They were not Mechal Shabbos. So when the Tanaim realized that it's not true, they were all being Mechal Shabbos, so they prohibited bathing in hot water. So they made Xeris HaBalonim. Not allowed to bathe on Shabbos and Yantam and hot. Not allowed to bathe on Shabbos and hot water. Not allowed to bathe on Shabbos and hot water. Those are the Malach of Bishol. Malach of Havara and Malach of Bishol. Two Malachas, right? So the Chacham Avadya has a tshuva where he talks about this. So he says, that's Xeris HaBalonim. You're not allowed to rely on a bathhouse attendant if it's a public bathhouse. But I'm talking in my apartment. I'm a Shomer Shabbos. My children are Shomer Shabbos. We know we're not relying on a bathhouse attendant. So the whole Gzeiras HaBalonim doesn't apply, b'zman hazeh. It only applies when you have a balon who's in charge of a public bathhouse. But somehow the Ashkenazim didn't accept that. By the Ashkenazim, they hold that that's what motivated the Chachamim to make the Gzeira, the balonim. But it's not a Gzeira only for balonim. It's a Gzeira in Al-Adu Rechitza B'chamim. So the Ramban says, on Shabbos, there's a gzeri, not about a bathe, even if the bathtub is full of hot water. From Erev Shabbos, even if it's true, you're not allowed to bathe. That's the gzera. So any gzera that they made on Shabbos was carried over to Yantav, even though the reason for the gzera doesn't apply on Yantav. On Yantav, you're allowed to heat up the water in order to bathe. But nonetheless, since they made the gzera on Shabbos, so the gzera is abalani carries over to Yantav. So according to the Ramban, as the problem, all like this is that the reason why you're not allowed to, in the Mishnah it says you're not allowed to take a bath, kol aguf, only you're allowed to heat up water to wash plenty of water, aglov. So if you know the reason why is like this is said that it's in a shavu l'chol nefesh, so b'zman hazeh had to go to take a hot bath or hot shower. The whole issue only is if you all like the Ramban, where Mach Mishnah Bura recommends you should be choshish for the Ramban. So Rabbi Kivega has a tshuva where he discusses a machlokes achrayim. How far do you go with the Gzeiras HaBalonim? Rechitza b'chamin. What's the definition of chamin? Does chamin mean yad soledes? Or it means even poshrim? So the Mishnah Berurah takes a stand on that. He says, well, machme, even poshrim, even if it's only lukewarm. But then the Mishnah Berurah quotes a Beis Meir. There was always an issue, women who go to mikveh, on Leil Shabbos, on Leil Yontif. So years ago, they had to crack the ice outside. They were toivel in a river. They were toivel in it was freezing outside. They could get pneumonia. They can get sick. So in recent years, they have a mikveh inside the building, and they have clean water, and they have warm water. So the shaila is, how can you be toivel on warm water on Shabbos and on Yontif? Gzeiras HaBalonim. So the Balatanya has a kula that since they go right after Tzeis HaKachavim, on Leil Shabbos, on Leil Yantiv, there wasn't enough time to heat up so much water. So obviously it was heated up in Bal Yom. So he holds that the Gzeiras HaBalonim doesn't apply in the first hour or so. I thought it was difficult. Usually all the Gzeiras Chachamim were made Baloitluk. But the Balatanya held that it was a Gevaldige Hetta, they quote in the biographies of the Alter Rebbe, that in case he goes to Gan Eden, it'll be for three things that he did. One of them is the kula that he gave that the women can be toivel in a warm mikveh on Leil Shabbos. He held that it was a gevaldik. It was gevaldik that the women don't have to get pneumonia. They don't have to be toivel in an ice cold mikveh. It was gevaldik, but that the heter, he thought the heter was so gevaldik. The second thing, he said three things. If he goes to Gan Eden, it'll be for three things. And one is the heter for the women to be toivel on Leil Shabbos. Another one is that he wrote the Shulchan Aruch HaRav, not for writing the Tanya, but rather for writing the Shulchan Aruch HaRav. The third one I forgot, but it's printed in the biography of the Alter Rebbe. Others say Avdineza says, that's not called mechitza b'chamin. A woman is tovel in the mikveh. She goes in half a second, she goes out. Mechitza b'chamin, you stay in the bathtub for a while. You stay in the shower. You sing in the shower, whatever. You stay in the shower for a couple of minutes. But just tovel in the mikveh, you go in and you walk out. That's not called mechitza. That's called tefillah. Whatever. Others came up with a kula, let them be tovel bein hashmashes. That's what the many communities. Sidri Tara has that on Yeridei, at the end of Chelik Sheni Yeridei. It used to be tovel in the mikveh bein hashmashes of Leil Shabbos. So, b'tzad the iser, the rechitza b'chamin is also on Shabbos. So they say bein hashmashes is kiyom, the tovel bayom. Hi, but they're not allowed to be tovel bayom, midirabbanan. So the mekel that is bein hashmashes, v'nikalayla. So the tovel bein hashmashes, and for the iser rechitza b'chamin, the tovel bein hashmashes is yom. And for the din that you're not allowed to be tovel bayom, the mekel, the ben hashmashes, is kalayla, fastira. That was a practice that they had in a lot of communities. So the Ramban is of the opinion. The Ramban holds that the gzeres habalonim that was made initially on Shabbos, because on Shabbos it's an isa bishul, it's an isa abar, it's no heterachon nefesh. So on Yom Tov it really doesn't make any sense. There's no good reason why it should be also on Yom Tov. But the Gemara, he quotes Gemara's and Beit, so whatever gzeres they made on Shabbos were carried over to Yom Tov. It's a loitlug, even though the reason for the gzeres doesn't apply. So how do you avoid? How do you avoid violating this if you want to take a one bit? So if you hold the gzeres only, gzeres abalanim is only on yatzaledis, so only make sure that the water is not yatzaledis. Make sure it's only poishim, it's only lukewarm. Rabbi Kevega quoted the machlokes achrayim. Some achrayim say even poishim is also gzeres habalanim. It's also a violation of a chitza v'cham. So the Mishnah Berurah says if you only put in a little hot water enough to take out the chill, and you can't really consider it even lukewarm water, you can't even call it lukewarm. It's a little warmer than regular water, but it's not even lukewarm. It's just that it's not chilly. So then the Mishnah Berurah quotes a Beis Meir that for sure, that's not a problem of rechitza v'cham. That's okay. So that's what they did in a lot of mikvahs. They wouldn't heat the water on Leil Shabbos or Leil Yom Tov. They wouldn't have hot water. They would put in a little bit of hot water just to take out the chill. So it wouldn't even be poshrim. It wouldn't be lukewarm even. So that if a person takes a shower on Yom Tov, have to be careful not to squeeze out the air. Okay. Where Mahmed the Gemara says that the ain't schita b'seir, that you're not in violation of schita if you squeeze out the air. So that Gemara, there's machlokes Rashi and the Rambam. Where Mahmed that it's also mid the Rabbanon. Some of the Rishonim holds muta v'gamrei. So where Mahmed that it's also mid the Rabbanon. So you don't squeeze out the air. But the issue is the rechitza b'chamim. So if it's not even lukewarm, it's just enough hot water to take out the chill. Then there's no violation of Gzeres Habalon. Very good. We should go to the answer. Yes.
If people are in a hotel, let's say there are a lot of Jewish people at a hotel, and there's a designated place for everybody to light on Erev Shabbos or Erev Yom Tov, would the people make a bracha? Because on the one hand, maybe it adds aura of a simcha collectively because there are 100 people lighting. On the other hand, each person individually doesn't contribute very much. If there are already 60 people who lit, so I'm going to be the 61st. It's not going to make much of a difference.
Yeah, the proper practice, you shouldn't say a bracha on lighting in a hotel if everybody lights in the same place. If you're lighting in your own bedroom, Hadlok has to be bebeso. If I light shalom bebeso, I'm not yotze. So if I'm lighting in my bedroom, I rented that room from the hotel, so that's basic. But they won't allow me to leave a candle. They'll allow me to leave an electric bulb, okay? So if you want to say a bracha on the electric bulb, if it has a filament in it, so most of the poskim in Europe held that you can say a bracha. Moshe Weinstein stands out, he held he can't say a bracha on an electric bulb. But it was usually assumed in Europe that you can say a bracha on an electric bulb. Unless it's an LED or a fluorescent, then you don't say a bracha. But if it has a filament and it glows when it's hot, then we assume that that's a Asian, they can say a bracha. So that's if you light in your bedroom. But if you're not lighting your bedroom, you're lighting one table, and all of the guests in the hotel lighting there. So it's not besos. It's not right. You're not yotze with that hadlok. So you really should not say a brach. Really should not say a brach.
Rabbi,
if the purpose of making the appeal was to be the sameach almanas and poor people for yontiv, shouldn't it be made the Shabbos before yontiv?
Yeah, should have. It's a good taina. Should have. Correct. So at least we'll be mesameach. We're pledging to be mesameach them after yontiv. I guess they're happy that they know that after yontiv they'll get something. But we should give them before, yeah.
Rabbi Leil Shani, in other words, let's say this year, Monday night, can we daven Mincha Marav early? Can we daven, let's say, Marav at 7 o'clock?
If it's after Plaga Mincha, right, so that's what I mentioned, that Prima Gordon feels that the second night Shavuos, you don't have to be Machmer for Tmimus, because we didn't count Sphere on the first day. Now, he disagreed with the Knesset Agdola. Knesset Agdola held that just like the first night, we have a meaning that you wait till Tzeisat Kochavim, either with davening or with Kiddush, different minhagim, different versions of the minhagim. So that meaning applies even to the second night. And Bim Gadam thinks that it's not so.
And so can you, and if you do that, could you, let's say, warm up food for dinner? You can eat dinner at 7:30 now, so it's before, so can you prepare, warm up food for dinner, so you eat dinner at 7:30?
Right. The problem is that till you come home, you may use up all the time. The balabasta may warm up the soup, and that'll turn out that you're not going to begin to eat the soup or the warm chicken that she did a malacha to warm it up. You're not going to begin to eat it till Beinash Mashas. So that's not right. To do a malacha on the first day Yontif and not to get the benefit from it until Beinash Mashas and until Laila. But if you're going to daven early, you can't daven Ma'ariv before Plag HaMincha. If you're going to daven right there, if you're going to daven Mincha in such a way that you finish before the plug, then you daven Ma'ariv right after the plug on Mincha, and everybody goes home right away. So then they were permitted to warm up food on Yom Tov if you plan to eat that food before the Shkia. Yes. It'll be a rush. You have to make sure that that you try to eat the food before the Shkia. So you did a block on Yom Tov.
If you hold it, avol chalek yosos, Lalavios is why is an inertia of Tala problem?
If you only Lalavios is then an inertia of Tala is mutter.
It's why should be mutter? It's still a Salav of Avara. Los Avaru is just one Salav.
Yeah, so that's the Tosis quotes the Yerushalmi. If you hold Lalavios is there are really only 38 malachas and there's a separate issue. So on Havara, like Tchumen, like Shvisas Be'emte, and the only thing that carries over from Shabbos to Yontif are the Malachas. The other side issues, the Tchumen and the Shvisas Be'emte, doesn't carry over to Yontif.
So there's no Isra Havara on Yontif, if you hold the Lav Yotzes?
Right.
There's no Lav on Yontif.
Right, that's what the Taisis quotes from Yerushalmi. The Nersha Laftala would be mutter if the din would have been Havara Lalav Yatzis. Means that there are only 38 malachas and an Issa Havara. It's a separate Issa, but it's not called a malacha. And that's a thesis in Pesachim also has one shita like that. The Achrayim were very upset about that. The Minchas Chinuch quotes in Shagas Aryeh was very upset. What do you mean? There are 39 malachas. Just because there's no chorus and there's no Misa doesn't mean that it's not a malacha. But that's what thesis in Beitzik, what did the Yerushalmi says like that. That if you hold Havara Lalav Yatzis, means Havara is not a malocha and it doesn't carry over from Shabbos to Yom Tov. Yeah.
May I please ask you a question?
Sure.
If it's questionable being able to light a candle on the second night because of our electric light, why is it not a problem on the first night?
In Shulchan Aruch, they quote what Tosfos says in Bamei Madlikin. Tosfos raises a question, why do you say a bracha? Some do not say a bracha on Hadlokas HaNeris. The Gemara has an expression, Shani Yoyma Hadlokas HaNer B'Shabbos Choyva. So some Rishanim say, the Gemara says, my Rishanim Mitzvah, my Machanim Choyva. Choyva means something you're obligated to do, but you don't recite a bracha. You only recite a bracha, a Bichas HaMitzvah, if you're doing a mitzvah. So to wash mayim rishonim before you eat bread, that's a mitzvah, so you say a bracha. To wash mayim achronim before you bench, that's a chayva, it's something you have to do, but you don't say a bracha. So here the Gemara calls hadlokas haner Shabbos. Chayva means something you have to do, no brachas beside. Our practice is we do say a bracha on hadlokas haner on Erev Shabbos. So the question is why, when you put up the cholent, when you vacuum the rug, when you set the table, when you take a shower, when you do all the other hachanas for Shabbos, you don't say bracha. The manish tana, this hachana, why is it when you light the candles, it's one hachana among many? Why do you say bracha only on hadlokas haneris? By us, it's such a double poshut. In Yiddish, you call it the benchlicht. You don't say tzindelicht, you say the benchlicht. You're saying a bracha on hadlokas haneris. The Tosfos quotes the Rabbeinu Tam. And the Shulchan Aruch quotes that la'alocha, that there was a separate takana, that you have to light Neri Shabbos even if you don't need it. Even if all the lights are on in the house, you have to turn off the lights on Erev Shabbos and turn them on again, L'Shem Shabbos. You have to make the room dark, and then you turn on the lights, L'Shem Shabbos. So the Shulchan Aruch says like that. If the big chandelier, let's say, is on, so that the room is flooded with lights. So when we learn Hilchos Hadlokas Haneris, you have to turn off the lights, light the candle, turn on the electric lights, and then say the bracha. Many women have the practice to say the bracha la'achar, after they finish the whole Hadlokas Haneris. So they should turn off the lights, light the candles, turn on the lights again, and then say the bracha. The bracha goes on all the hadlokas. It goes on the hadlokas on neiris, the candles, and on the lights. But you're right. You can't just light the candles when the big chandelier or the big candelabra is on already, because you're not adding any illumination. L'hadlik neir shel Shabbos means you're illuminating the room with the neiris. The room is already fully illuminated. It's shraga b'tihara. When you light two candles in a room that's flooded with light from the chandelier, so you're not accomplishing illumination. So Taki can't say a broch. That is correct. Okay, we should all have a good niyantif.
So if the woman lights after the men come home from shul, that would be a problem even the first night. But
yeah, that's correct. Because she can't turn off the lights. Unless she lights in a different room where there's no light. But our minig is that you say the bracha in the room where you eat.
At the table
where you're going to eat. Yeah.
Okay, thank you.
Good. Thank you.
Thank you. Have a good
Yom Kippur.
Thank you. Thank you.